May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My brothers and sisters, on this most holy night, we recall the story of salvation, the story of God's persistent, unrelenting love for us and for all creation. And if we wished, we could have read stories of God's love all through the night. This is a vigil, after all. The story of creation and the Garden of Eden. The story of Noah and the flood, by which God attempted to cleanse creation of the evil human beings had brought upon it. The story of Abraham and Sarah, when God entered once again into a lifelong relationship with a man and a woman to bring to birth a new nation of justice and peace. The stories of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, how God delivered the people into safety in Egypt to live out a terrible famine. How, when that safety turned to violent oppression and slavery, God brought the people out once again to find a new home and a new hope. We could have followed the story from there through the challenges of their wilderness experience and becoming a people and settling into their new home. We could tell stories of the powerful neighbors that they offended, of the new gods they took a liking to, and all the ways that God attempted to help them navigate the complicated geopolitics of their region, and how they became slaves once again, carried into captivity in Babylon, where they longed for their homeland and the freedom to worship God once again. And God's steadfast, relentless love, turn by turn, twist by twist, through it all. And how God brought them home at last, and they rebuilt the temple, and how then they eventually fell under the power of later empires, the Greeks and then the Romans. And how God never wavered, yet how hard the people found it to believe and keep hope under generation after generation of struggles. We could tell these stories for days of God's mercy, which endures forever. And perhaps sometime in the story, we might come, each of us, to a certain moment, maybe when we heard about the partnership that God formed with those very first humans, Adam and Eve, to care for creation. Or maybe it would strike us a bit later on with Noah's role in saving creation through the flood. Or maybe not until Moses' fierce resistance to God at the burning bush and God's equally fierce persistence would we have a moment of thinking, but wait a minute, if God could do all that, why does God need us? If God could turn the Nile into blood or make the walls of Jericho fall down at will or flood the earth for 40 days, if God could make the heavens and the earth, why does God need us? Yet we read the stories and God does. God chooses to need us. There's something about this that God understands that perhaps doesn't make a lot of sense to us, that we need to be part of our own redeeming and the redeeming of the world. God only ever does the parts that we really can't do. Tonight, we have read the resurrection account from the Gospel of Mark. And in the very earliest manuscripts that we have, this is actually where the Gospel ends. These are the last verses of the Gospel of Mark. The woman fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. How is that good news? That's what gospel means. It means good news. How is that good news? How is that the inspired word of God teaching us and encouraging us. They fled from the tomb and told nothing to anyone because they were afraid. But let's think. Here in this moment at the tomb, the saving work of Jesus is complete. Jesus has lived and ministered and healed. He has suffered and died, and he has been raised. The women are already saved by grace. God's great triumph through Christ has been accomplished. The power of sin and death has been broken forever, and all of history was already renewed. And yet the story isn't finished. Mark leaves the story open for what happens next. Because while Jesus' saving work is now already complete, our part had actually only just begun. That part in which Jesus' resurrection would inspire the hearts of the wayward disciples to extraordinary courage from the depths of despair and a transformative love that would lead them to live together and share everything and care for everyone as any had need. While Jesus had been raised and everything had changed, what actually had changed? The Romans were still in power, terrifyingly. The temple authorities were still acting with an eye to self-preservation. They were collaborators, totally co-opted by the Romans. The taxes were still crushing. The poverty and the hardship and the sickness and disability were still real and widespread. What had changed? Well, everything and nothing yet. Nothing in this moment until the hearts of the disciples begin to be transformed. This is God's relentless, steadfast love for us, that God doesn't do it all for us, removing our free will, removing our part of the story. God calls us to be free, willing partners in salvation. And God chooses that without us, the work remains incomplete. And so the Gospel of Mark ends with this question. God has done the hard stuff that we couldn't do alone. Will we do our part? Will we let our hearts be transformed from fear and terror and suffering and self-preservation and selfishness and greed and comfort and pride? Be transformed by God's never-ending love and grace and mercy toward courage and generosity and justice and compassion and love. Tomorrow morning in our service, we will read sections of Psalm 136. It is a psalm with a refrain that grows repetitive over time because every single verse recalls part of the story of salvation followed by the refrain, "For God's steadfast love endures forever." Over and over again, "For God's steadfast love endures forever." Its repetition throughout the psalm dulls us to the power of those words. And yet the story is this: the story of redemption has not been an easy journey. It is full of terrors and suffering and pain for people who, living through these experiences, did not know if they would survive it, did not know at times if God cared about them, did not know if their lives mattered or not. Did not know if their loved ones' lives mattered. Terrible experiences. And yet in the face of it all, the cry, "God's steadfast love endures forever." Then there's another experience. God's steadfast love endures forever. Another twist in the plot. God's steadfast love endures forever. Well, we read this psalm a mere 3 weeks after I had started at St. George's, one foggy, cold morning outside the construction fence at the old church. It was the day they were slated to begin demolition. And even then, God's steadfast love endures forever. All the twists and turns of the story, God's steadfast love endures forever. These new challenges that you face together, all the challenges that we still face in this pandemic, I say to you, my brothers and sisters, even in the face of all this, God's steadfast love endures forever. And at those times when all the reasons why not overwhelm us, let us remember God's solemn promise that Barb read for us this evening from Ezekiel. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God offers us the transformation of our hearts. It is the great work of salvation, God's relentless, persistent work since the beginning of time, the transformation of our hearts, for which he gave his only son, from fear to hope, from despair to courage, from bitterness to generosity, from resentment to love, the resurrection of our hearts. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's steadfast, persistent, relentless love offered freely to us, even at those times when we least understand it, even when we are incapable of receiving it, like we are standing at an empty tomb, ready to do the last things for our friend and our teacher who we loved, and we don't know what has just happened, and we are afraid. Tonight, on this most holy night, the tomb is empty, my brothers and sisters, for God's steadfast love endures forever. We are called to follow Jesus to Galilee, to allow God to take those hearts of stone and transform them into hearts of flesh. To each of us, that young man says, he has done the hard part, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Now, which way from here will we go?